being a good failure is underrated. We always talk about who's the fastest, who's the best climber, who's this. But being able to take a punch, being able to fall, being able to go bankrupt, these are real skills.
I think that you are hitting on the head exactly why sloths are worth looking into and thinking about, and what fascinates me about them is because if you look at most any other species on Earth and then you see sloths, you gotta go, how the fuck is that thing still alive? How does it exist? All of these traits that we're impressed by, the cheetah going very fast, the bear very strong, and all of these things that capture the imagination and like, wow, that's so impressive that evolution can give all these different superpowers to all these different species, and it's lost. Just like, what's your superpower? Just chilling.
Just hanging out, getting by.
It's the Sloth Talk episode, everybody.
Yeah,
welcome.
The slut episode.
I know you guys have been like, you've had your calendars marked all year, October 20th, International Sloth Day, and you've been just waiting patiently like a sloth, but on the edge of your claws seat metaphor for this episode. So yeah, to set this up, I had a Here We Are episode years ago. Let's see, when was this? I'm curious.
Your first sloth ep?
My first sloth ep. Oh, April 2019.
2019. Wow, that's like a before a major cultural shift. That's like, you know, thinking of the year 2000.
It was right at the end of the before times.
Yeah,
and there were things about this conversation that just really captured my attention, and I started like thinking of a silly kind of children's book that I would write, and this project, it spiraled into all sorts of different things that eventually got put on hold when I started Mind Under Matter. But I went through a deep dive during like, I think fall of 2020. It was one of my quarantine projects. It's just, I went into a deep sloth dive, and I don't know how much of that information is still hanging about like a sloth in my brain, but I imagine it will be more than enough to fill an episode.
And yeah, you're being not a lot is someone's like all the sloth info, and yeah, all I know about sloths is what you've told me sporadically over the years, and the SNL sloths sketch. That's quite a tongue twister. SNL sloths sketch.
What's the sloth sketch?
I don't really remember. It was one of those music videos where, you know, Andy Samberg and what's it called? Lonely Island would make music videos for it during that new like online reinvigoration of SNL during the early outs, I guess.
Yeah, like we make YouTube shorts now. You're like, whoa, SNL's so
They're
cool.
Young man. Like us. We're getting our own Adam Sandler, finally. And now every year, like, kind of, you realize that every year just had that.
Was Lonely Island any good? I remember Dick in a
awesome.
Box. Really?
Yeah, they were great. They had a show called Awesome Town, which they put out before there was YouTube. You just went to a website with no CSS or anything, and you downloaded a .mov file. It took all day to download it. It had star-studded people in it. It was so goofy and raw, and really before that took over, and then everyone started making that style of stuff the same way everyone started making Tim and Eric style stuff and
right.
Monty Python style stuff, etc. It's how it goes. You get influenced, and then the copies come, and then the culture moves on because we're sick of that now.
Yeah,
we've already seen it a lot, but man, it was great when they first started, and perhaps are still great. I think they're all high powered producers now or something.
I'm hoping that we can smoothly transition into the everyone's sick of us category without the having had a big influence on.
The least influence with the most sick of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep on salivating. Yeah, the bear of repeating. Who cares? We all do it. Well, I wish you'd stop. Well, what is stopping? Well,
I like that you carry the bear of repeating around with you, and that's fun. It's one that we both haven't agreed on whether that's a part of the
bear of
culture.
Repeating. Yeah. It's like the why, right? Like sometimes A E I O U and sometimes why. Yeah, it's like the Pluto of planets. It's like viruses being life forms or not life forms. We got the bear of repeating as our wishy washy, ethereal sort of character.
That's a hilarious metaphor. Okay. So yeah, Sloss, first of all, first glance, you into him?
Of course I am. Would I have something that kind of resembles one if I wasn't? This is the best I could do. There's no Sloss in the house, but this is a pygmy marmoset.
That pygmy marmoset does look it's not very accurate as a pygmy marmoset, but it does. They accidentally put in some sloth-like looks into it.
It could be a stand-in, you know?
It passes.
Yeah, we'll just keep it here for a little bit.
So maybe the best way to get into it is just to tease the big sloth mystery and then figure out why it's such a mystery and then really dig into sloths to just figure out. Because people are going to be, no one knows for sure. And I know a lot of listeners are going to hear the sloth mystery. They're going to have some very opinionated takes on what solves the case of the mystery of sloth poop. And they're going to start arguing with people and getting, try to keep it civil online. Can I just put that out there? I know these sloth debates can get pretty heated.
It's a hot button issue.
If you want to yell at me about my sloth takes, that's fine. I'm putting myself out there. But keep it civil with everyone else in the YouTube comments and Discord and everything. We don't need to end friendships over, a couple friendships.
But. Yeah, only the worst. But yeah, keep it civil, no name calling, only insult positions. Be as like hard as you want insulting someone's position, but never the person. But your position, like hit it with everything you got.
We should be able to do that to people's positions. But yeah. People identify with their, we all do it. We all identify a little too much with our own positions. So, all right, so here's the mystery, and then we'll break down some sloth history. We'll really get into all of this. Oh, maybe we'll kind of retell a little Comte de Buffon as well, since it was episode one.
We could use a refresher.
We need a refresher, and it really has a lot to do with sloths. It's how I found him in the first place. So
we had a couple people dressed as Comte de Buffon at the
amazing.
Festival. That added so much to it, and I don't think I got to thank them individually, but just seeing them from afar, also up close. Dressed as it just warmed my heart infinitely.
Even just a wig. Just throw a Buffon wig on. Oh, so good. I mean, I really hope it's barely even a hope. It's more like I know this is going to happen. But I hope for the newcomers that didn't make the camp out and then they're like bummed they missed it or heard good things. Now they're coming next year. I hope that the people that came and are coming back now feel comfortable being like really bringing the mum world to life a lot more. Cause I was nervous too about like fully mummifying things.
I'm going to get hair and makeup next year.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a designated makeup. Like,
we should get a person. Thing. Mm-hmm. We should get a professional costume designer.
100%.
There.
Yeah, a different one for every day, and I don't get to wash it off unless it rains, which it will not because we're accounting for that. And no end to that sentence. That sentence ended 4 seconds ago.
Yeah, so more bouffants, more voids and visionaries. Yeah, just the morph suits. Everything we want more of. Hopefully someone will show up wearing a boat carpet suit. It'll probably have to be me since I'm usually the one with all the boat carpet. But yeah, looking forward to that. All right, so here's the mystery. Let's start up. Why do sloths poop in the way that they do? So,
and how do they?
So first of all, what sloths do to set it up? Sloths, the only sloths that still exist are these two-finger and three-finger sloths. They're technically called two-toed and three-toed sloths, which I think is utter bullshit. There's a bit of a rift in the sloth research community of which people want to just hold on to the original name and which people want to change it to fingers because it's their four limbs that have the difference.
The claws?
Yeah, so they all have three toes, but one genre has two fingers and the other has has three. So that's the difference between the two. And then
toe saves time to say, but finger is better. Finger sounds better. What team are you on?
Oh, I'm a finger guy all the way.
I guess I'll be finger too, yeah.
Thank you.
Toes are for the feet. Unless if you're some kind of primate that has the hands as feet, then well, maybe. But even then, you still want to call those their feet.
I know. Again, this is one of those things I'm expecting a big fight about on Discord and the YouTube comments and things to get pretty heated. But
also,
I say fingers.
You can answer this another time if it's too big of a hole to jump into. But why do we not have opposable thumbs on our feet like monkeys do? What is with these flat-footed, flat-billed duck flipper things?
Well, we can walk bipedally way better than they can. We're built for endurance. We can walk and run very, very, very long distances on just our two
I guess
feet.
So. Now that I'm thinking about it, the hand would be worse because like that big toe is good for propelling forward and... It's really more of a controlled fall than it is like you pushing yourself forward. You're just kind of like propelling yourself a little and then the other foot catches you, but you're always like in a continuous controlled fall when you walk.
Yeah. And I don't know about hanging upside down it seems like other species just, do they not get head rushes? It seems like they just hang upside down willy-nilly. Sloths spend their lives upside down, basically, and they just seem totally fine with it. They're just okay with it. But then some primates, they're sometimes upside down, sometimes they're not. If I hang upside down, have you ever been in the inverted table things?
I mean, I was a jungle gym kid. I wasn't the most monkey-like, but...
No, this is the new, like, wellness thing the trend that took off for, like, five years ago. It got really popular where it was You had one?
I had one, and I got rid of it because it hurt my ankles too much. Like, the way it gripped your ankles, even with the pads, like, all you can think about is, like, oh, this is dislocating my ankle.
Well,
and I did it for my back.
Yeah. And did it help at all?
I didn't use it enough, but it was like $100. So I got giant contraption for $100 and it was, you know, you can return it in 30 days, but I'm not returning a giant contraption. No. I'm putting it on Craigslist. The people that got it were very happy to get it. And I no longer had that hunger in me because sometimes you buy a product and it doesn't work out, but you're like, at least I never wonder now. I'm not wondering like, oh, I should have gotten that electronics ab belt 20 years ago. I could have been.
It is when you do find a simple thing and then it changes your life, then you go, well, what other little things am I missing out on? I just had a trail mix with some peach, with some dried peaches in it from Costco. And I was, I was on the fence, wasn't going to buy it. And I was like, you know, and you're just going to spend your life wondering. Tried it today. It's fantastic.
Who else is in the cast? Cashews, peanuts?
Yeah, it's a peach and cashew cast. Heavy in the cashews and peaches. And a bunch of other things I crammed in my mouth. I think there's chocolate or something in there.
I hope it's chocolate.
I love that we're getting into lots of snack. Lots more snack talk on the show during Sober October. I got to get some sort of enjoyment in my mouth in some way that I need to ingest something like somewhat fun. And
yeah, you can't have boiled chicken
fun
and broccoli forever.
So these sloths, there used to be like 80 to 100 different kinds of sloths have existed in the history of the planet. And there's only two left. There's four of these three fingers and two kinds of the two fingers.
Interesting that it's split that way.
Yeah, and they look very identical. The two fingers bigger, and there's some changes that'll be relevant to the mystery. Which the three finger does this every single time. They're very ritualistic about this. The two finger doesn't do it every time, and then here. So here's probably the fucking craziest thing about sloths. Without looking, I'm going to say like 350 million years. I should have like went through all of my old notes or something. But it's something like that. So sloths are in this family I am not the pronouncer guy.
Like rodent?
It's
Similicethopod.
It's Zen Arthuron, something like that. X,
the ruler of the Zeticulae galaxy, Zartikalon,
Rthran, Zenarthuron. Let's say that.
That's the
guys,
family.
You know by now not to go on repeating something that I've pronounced.
So that's the family, the same way that, you know, koala bears are marsupials, or the way that spiders are arachnids.
Yeah, yeah. And so they're closest related to anteaters, which don't have teeth, and then armadillos. Which do have these soft weird teeth. And there was actually a bigger ground sloth along the way that had bones on the outside of its body like armadillos do.
Cool.
So they had like an armored sloth around the along the way. There was like a predator sloth maybe in there at one point.
It's headed this way. We better move within the next 2 weeks.
There was a large aquatic sloth. The sloths at one point in one region got pushed into the ocean, and then they got pushed out of the climate of the ocean changed and it was no longer habitable for them. But there was a time when they evolved, like more and more of their food was in the ocean, and so they spent most of their lives underwater. And then
weird.
Came back out. There is giant ground sloths around.
How big are we talking?
They were
hippopotamus size,
bipedal, about the size of an elephant, but they were bipedal.
No,
so
they weren't.
Be like 15 feet tall.
You found a fiction book. There's no 15 foot elephant size bipedal sloths.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and this is where a little bit of where Camonte de Buffon comes in, because Thomas Jefferson was a naturalist, and he
what's that mean?
Just like someone
he walks around naked.
Someone who studies like the natural sciences. Yeah.
Oh, okay. As opposed to applied sciences and engineering and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So he discovered one of these giant ground sloths. Other people had. Darwin had discovered a giant ground sloth in the east coast of, I think near Madagascar or something, the east coast of South America. And it was kind of influential in his early obsession of before he stumbled on evolution exactly, but it was influential in his early thinking. Thomas Jefferson, there wasn't like a, they didn't really know about extinction or think about extinction much. Like, it didn't seem like, you know, if you believe in God, why would God make a thing that went extinct? Like, what's the point of that? So they didn't.
Yeah, and you couldn't account for everything in the world.
Yeah.
Whereas now we're like, oh, we're not seeing it. We've got satellites everywhere. It's probably gone forever.
Right. But he would see this huge, I'm not sure if the one that he found is 15 feet tall, but just huge, like 10-foot tall giant ground sloth with massive claws and everything. These fossils would be like, look out for this thing. If you're traveling around America, you want to keep an eye out for this scary beast thing. Comte de Buffon, Georges Louis Leclerc, Comte de Buffon, who changed, it was, he already went by that.
Georges Louis Leclerc, Comte de Buffon.
And then he's traveling around with a duke and decided to add Comte de Buffon onto his name, which I think is like the Duke of Buffon or something
count.
Like that.
But I think Comte is Count.
Whatever it was, he is like, my name isn't near long or fancy enough as is. I need to throw on a whole other super fancy sounding thing. And he came into the picture. He brought word of sloths originally back to, and if you see the early drawings of sloths, it's like, if you think sloths are inferior, if you think sloths are inferior, I think that your drawing is the most inferior. It is really telling of your inferiority. I could draw. You've seen me draw things. I could draw a better sloth.
I love
it.
I love the way you draw things. And I forgot about this idea, but I thought it would be fun to have like some of the ones that you made as merch.
Yeah. Some of the early.
These look so funny.
Early sloth drawings.
Yeah. This is better than anything the AI stuff. You know, because when you do AI art, it's like, that looks so ridiculous. It's so funny. And this does that in an even better way.
Yeah, it's kind of like a child drew a fat dog body with claws and then gave it no neck and a human face.
Yeah, it's
face.
Uncle's face on it. Hey, champ.
And he was Comte de Buffon was making kind of this encyclopedia of all natural phenomenon and stuff, and he I think that he came across sloths probably in Native Americans would sometimes have sloths around, like the smaller sloths, and they'd have them out of the trees, where sloths are very slow on the ground. They're slow in trees. They're even slower on the ground. Their hands are just built for hanging, and they're decent at swimming. They have no muscle on them whatsoever, so they're just very buoyant, and they're very lean. It's probably why the sloths that exist today still exists, is because their claws are meant for hanging. It's their natural state. That family name, whatever I was trying to pronounce earlier.
Xenopophlacodsiriasis. Yeah,
that exactly is Latin or something for odd joints.
Ooh.
And they have a weird spine where they have every mammal has 7 vertebrae, including giraffes and everything. But sloths and manatees have.
You mean at least
manatees
seven?
Manatees have no, they all have seven.
Don't we have more than seven vertebrae?
No.
We had like 33 vertebral columns.
The central vertebrae.
Oh, so the big ones. The big discs count as the seven.
Yes.
How many do we have total? 33?
Yep, 33. You nailed it.
Yeah, because I remember reading this.
Cervical vertebrae. That's the term for it. Cervical vertebrae.
I'm going to butcher this like I do everything, but I remember reading some theory about the Bible initially meaning to describe human anatomy and like, you know, Jesus dies at 33. We have 33 vertebral columns. There's 12 cranial nerves. There's 12 disciples. Like the numbers of it are meant to describe like a human body, not like literally there was a guy and he died at 33 and there's 12 dudes, but there was some kind of metaphor for it. But that's all I remember about it.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Seven
seven main vertebral columns.
Cervical. Yeah.
Cervical.
Cervical.
Okay. Yeah.
In the cervical segments. Yeah. So they have seven. Every other mammal has seven sloths, depending on the species. I think have nine. But so they can spin their head around like an owl. And
cool, I want that.
Yeah.
The seven is bunk.
Yeah, yeah. And so their natural state is hanging, and they have no meat on them, and they stay mostly in the trees. They mostly don't move to survive, because not only they're metabolism is such that every single day is life or death of them, like maybe going to starve. They move to like adjust their own temperature, so they don't regulate their own temperature other than adjusting through the like get into the sun or whatever, get out of the sun a little bit. So they'll move slowly to do that, but them not moving keeps them away from keeps them from being spotted by cats on the ground or harpy eagles from above. And so they're hanging out in the middle of trees. They're exceptionally hard to spot. They're pretty small. And when they die, they usually just die still hanging. Like they're just
crazy. While maggots are still going in there.
Oh yeah.
That's frightening. What about, do predators like them? Cause you said they don't have a lot of meat on them. Do they like get eaten and they're like, this sucks. It's fur and bone.
They're mostly an enormous, disgusting gut. when they eat something, it stays in their gut for about 300 days or no. Sorry. 300 hours, 300 okay. hours.
It's like Jesus.
Which is, you know, so like over 10 days, you have your gut working on something, which is, was that a sneeze in the background?
Oh yeah, she's making some appearances on this.
It's just like beeping into the loudest sneeze that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so what was
the 300 days in
so they have, you know, like cows have guts,
not 300 days, 300 hours.
300 hours. Cows have like multiple stomachs with like these
dessert
different
stomach and dinner stomach.
Yeah, so sloths have that, and mostly it's because they're just surrounded by a buffet. They're just surrounded by food because it's just all garbage food. So almost nothing except some insects eats the same leaves that they do. There's a couple of primates that'll like munch on these leaves a little bit, but they would prefer not to. And so there's just no competition for these things. There's hardly any nutrients in these things. And it takes them forever to digest. And so, yeah, when you're talking about eating a sloth, you're not going to get a nice steak out of a sloth. You're not going to get like a nice marbled meat. They have no muscle, hardly any fat on them. They're very slim. They are covered in hair and algae and stuff. It's not that appealing, at least these smaller ones. The older ones, they were probably driven, they may or may not have been driven extinct by humans, and because they went extinct around the same time that humans started showing up.
Oh, but it was us for sure.
There was giant sloths around like 4,000 years ago. So there was like Aztec pyramids and stuff. And then also giant sloths were around. And there's not a single drawing of a sloth anywhere. They Idiot. Never drew a sloth.
Drawing rulers and, you know, the pot.
So there's no record of it other than then in the fossil record. And you can tell that it's around the same time. So they don't know exactly what happened.
Maybe there. The drawings just aren't. Maybe most of the drawings were somehow destroyed, erased. I know they were in stone, but still.
Yeah, who knows? And
maybe we have yet to uncover it. Maybe someone was collecting all the sloth all images. All the sloth. And then we're going to find it in one tomb that they're still, you know, uncovering. I love finding out that they'll uncover a Mayan temple or Aztec pyramid in like 2017. Something like really recent.
Yeah. Yeah, that's always amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Stephen Churchill at the camp out had two like groundbreaking discoveries in the last decade or so. It's just amazing whenever it's like, hey, we found new stuff. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
We are still finding things.
And when it's got some, this sounds like talking shit about physics, but I guess it's more talking shit about my own understanding of it. But when they say that they found a new thing smaller than the Higgs boson, and it's even more, it's like, well, what is it? Well, it's what makes up quarks and gluons. It's like, yeah, but what does this help with anything? It's like, well, if we can divide it even further, who knows?
Yeah.
But when you discover fossil record things, you can put stuff together, but just finding infinite ways to divide particles without application is just not as interesting.
Yeah, right. Yeah, where there's these like gaps in the fossil records that are still to be discovered, and that's particularly the case in sloths, where they see some stuff that's like the smallest sloths were like kind of about dog size or whatever in some regions, but then they didn't seem to make it into the region that the small sloths are now. So it's all confusing. And then the craziest thing is that the two fingers and three fingers are not related. Their closest ancestor is like 350 million years ago. The thing was like more like an anteater.
So they just convergently wound up back at the same spot.
Yeah, an anteater just started splitting off in a bunch of different ways, and then one, like 200 million years ago, started becoming a sloth, and then another one, like 100 million years ago, unrelated, just because started becoming a sloth.
Hell
as well.
Yeah, good
it was
career
just
path.
Such an adaptive way to be that
all roads lead back to slothhood.
Yeah.
Or at least two do. Two of the roads that come from different places lead back to slothhood. Quick little aside. Do you remember in the phone book days where so many companies were named AAA Aardvark, you know, cleaning?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or everything, because it was like having that first page. That's the only reason we know what aardvarks and anteaters are.
My brother-in-law works at A1 Glass. It's just from the Yellow Pages days. And then they never changed the name once that no longer worked.
That would be so funny if the main companies of today were like that. Like Facebook is like triple A person finder. Google is like A L L L L of the search. It's like you're just trying to get A.
So,
that's a thought.
So this is what makes it even stranger is that both of these sloths do this. Three finger always do it, two finger not as much. So once a week or so, they go to a particular tree. Sloths will have particular bathroom trees. They don't just climb down the tree that they're in. They have particular bathroom trees that they climb all the way down and dig a little hole with their little nub tail. And that seems to have no other use. And then they poop in this hole, and then they sort of bury it a little sort bit. And it's, you have to understand that sloths just never move outside of that. Unless the only, like in a modern era, sometimes they put roads in the middle of things and sloths can't. Because otherwise sloths just stay in the trees the entire time. They live in the trees. Whatever one of the names of what they do is, like, tree dwelling, vegetable eating, this and that, whatever, some classification. And so they just never, they would have no reason to leave the trees. So why are they doing that? Not only, so here's the other things that are confusing about it from an evolutionary point of view. Not only are they leaving the trees, but they're losing an incredible amount of their body weight to climb all the way down. This is the most exercise they do in life, is the once a week.
How long is the trip there and back?
A really long time.
Like hours?
I think it takes hours to do.
And they have to go every day, or they go once a week?
Once a week, yeah.
Once a week? What about, yeah. I'm going to ask the diarrhea question, and it goes as follows. Can they still make it to the hole when they got the dia, or does the dia just...
That's what I would think too. I mean, I think that their diet is pretty stable, but who knows? Because there's also, so one of the things endangering current sloths. So one of the reasons why sloths maybe evolved being driven to, the sloths today maybe evolved being driven to extinction by humans, is that they just aren't worth the meal. So the cats, it's not worth the cats climbing all the way up in the tree for a thing that's, one, just difficult for them to see. It's not that much food, blah, blah, blah. But also to use an arrow that you made to try to hunt a sloth. Like, if you just shoot a sloth, it will just die just hanging. And now you've just lost an arrow for no reason. So maybe that's how they survived.
It's like
just
one of those,
not worth it.
Yeah, like one of those countries that's surrounded by mountains. Like, I don't know which one they talk about, whether it's Switzerland or something. But it's like generally neutral and not attacked because it's just too difficult to get through all the mountains and stuff. Like, oh, just leave them be.
Yeah, exactly. They're the Swiss of the animal kingdom.
Or what's that other one? Maybe wolverines or honey badgers, maybe both of them. But they're not that big, but they're so aggressive that it's just even a pack of wolves won't want to go near it because we'll lose an eye. Even though we'll get a meal, it's just too big of a hassle.
Do not mess with a honey badger ever. Sloths can be aggressive. It's just really unusual for that to happen. They have to have no other... Their main self-defense is just being still and...
and delightful looking.
And delightful looking.
They have the face of the divine, or one of the faces of the divine.
Yeah.
And you're just looking into their dark eyes and big smile, which does not indicate happiness, but still... projects happiness to me, so I don't want to.
Yeah, it looks like they're smiling. That's just the way that their face looks. So people are like, look, it's smiling when I hold it. It's like, well, they only enjoy climbing. And so if there's nothing else to climb but a human around, they will climb a human.
Are they good at, could they climb like one of those rock gyms, or it would be too far apart?
No, they're actually surprisingly strong just because of their like limb and joint configuration. They like the torque that they have on pulling things is they could climb pretty easily. They are good climbers and they're great fallers. So they have double the number of ribs. They have the most ribs of any mammal on Earth. I think they have double what humans have. Which I want to say is like 22 or something like that.
We got 11, huh?
I don't know. What do you think? You want to guess?
I don't know. I remember, though, having a friend, not a close friend, but someone way back in the high school days who was religious, was a big Jesus freak, and they believed that women had, I forget which one it was. I think they believed men had one less rib than women did because of the Adam and Eve story. It was like, that's why like men have fewer ribs. And I'm like, that's not true. I don't know how many we have, but I just know that's not true. And luckily there was anatomy books and just very, very basic internet. And I could have been just went, ha ha, you're full of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, they absolutely were. Humans have 12 pair. Sloths have 21 pair. And because of that, it helps keep their organs in from like hanging upside down. I guess they need just stronger, more more spread out ribs. But also, sloths can just drop from like 100 feet and just land on their back and be okay.
Just because of the flexibility of the joints?
Yeah, just because they have so many ribs, it just goes...
Being a good failure is underrated. We always talk about who's the fastest, who's the best climber, who's this. But being able to take a punch, being able to fall, being able to go bankrupt, these are real skills.
I think that you are hitting on the head exactly why sloths are worth looking into and thinking about, and what fascinates me about them is because if you look at most any other species on Earth, you would and then you see sloths, you got to go, how the fuck is that thing still alive? How does it exist? All of these traits that we're impressed by, the cheetah going very fast, the bear very strong, and just all of these, and even like an armadillo with these shells and armor that it can roll itself up into. It's so cool. Or a skunk sprays you or something like that. All of these things that capture the imagination and like, wow, that's so impressive that evolution can give all these different superpowers to all these different species. And a sloth's just like, what's your superpower? Just chilling.
Just hanging out, getting by.
Just getting by. And so why? So the question is, why the fuck? If that's their superpower, is not moving. They don't need to move for any other reason. Why aren't they just pooping from the trees?
Not because of neighbors beneath them? Social pressure? Social pressure to not dump on your neighbor's head?
So that's fantastic. Like, you're on the right kind of line of inquiry, which is one thought was, is it because they can poop like a third of their body weight sometimes at once?
What is their body weight? 2 pounds?
No. It's like, I would want to say 40 or something like that.
40 pounds.
Maybe lighter than that. Sloth weight.
Sloth weight. Oh my gosh. Give now.
Between 9 and 17 pounds. I really overshot it.
I was off by a half. I think you were closer. You were doubled. Yeah.
Just like a couple feet long. Super light. So
you could throw those. Like, you couldn't throw something 40 pounds, but you could throw something 10 pounds. Oh, yeah,
you could throw a sloth. And
I would never, though, unless it was to save its life.
So, by the way, there's a lot of people that try to save sloths. Sometimes, like, if they're trying to cross a road, I would say, if you want to pick up a sloth and help it across the road, suit yourself. They do have weird lice thing on them sometimes. That's like a really bad. It can,
yeah,
can
always carry a sloth suit in the car.
Yeah.
Fully protective sloth hazmat space suit.
People that work with sloths have to be careful. They'll get a rare, weird disease from these lice that they have on. Sloths have whole gross ecosystems on their back. Would it create a racket? Would it cue in like cats on the ground if sloths were to poop, would it cue them into where the sloths were so they'd be able to see them easier? That was one of the early when people were like, why in the world aren't they going from the trees? But that doesn't make that much sense, because why wouldn't sloths just evolve to like have smaller poops or something if that was the case?
How do you evolve that? Like more just, muscles to make it more dense? Cause
yeah, poop more often.
Oh.
Just poop more often, you would think. I think that they evolved to poop so infrequently so that they don't need to make this big trip all the way down the whole time. But that's just my own take.
It would be nice to evolve never having to doing it at all, except for maybe once, and that's the day you die.
I think once a year is like your birthday.
Yeah.
And you celebrate it. You have a yearly poop.
Yeah.
And when it's your time, like, people gather.
Oh, no.
You don't think people gather? Okay.
It's like, oh, I got to go to my sister's birthday now. I hate birthdays.
It's just, you have to go and support them. It's just the one time that there's social pressure for everyone gets their annual poop. So then you also said not wanting to poop on their friends or whatever. Well, one, sloths aren't particularly social. Females will hang out with one another. Males will tend to be a little territorial, but that's not, they're not very territorial.
How does that play out?
All.
If another male is invading their territory, do they just like...
I think they just leave, it seems like. I don't think that there's funny. Much fighting over territory. It wouldn't be worth the risk for a sloth to lose an eye or something.
So I could have any sloth house I wanted. I just have to go there, and then the richest sloth would just slowly leave their mansion.
Yeah, it would make sense if there's competition for females, because females are having, they don't pair bond. So
they're polyamorous.
Yeah. So females are having multiple male encounters.
Nice.
And there's
close encounters of the fourth kind. I tried to play with the fingers thing.
So there could be, if guys were trying to get territory where females were wanting to be and then protect that territory, Then that starts making sense. It certainly won't be to feed yourself, because there's plenty of the leaves around. And they're a little bit of picky eaters, kind of like koala bears. There's eucalyptus everywhere, like 20,000 species or something in the area that they're at, but they'll only eat like 20 species of it.
Have we
like
experimented
that.
With force feeding them that stuff and seeing if they can nutritionally get it and they just don't like it because of the taste or unfamiliarity, or do they not, they can't digest the other kinds?
I think they've experimented with it in like zoos where like out of scarcity or necessity or whatever, they'll try to give it other eucalyptus, because it's very, very, very difficult to maintain. Because koala bears also require fresh eucalyptus leaves. So zoos have to get fresh leaves of the particular species of their preference and hope that that particular koala bear doesn't just have like a taste aversion to it.
That's so funny. It's like imprisoning children, but then you have to go get them McDonald's every day. But they're imprisoned, but they get their favorite food.
And so is it a territorial thing? Because they do this, they tend to do it communally. But so it's like, it could be a mating thing too. You know, for it to be a mating thing, it would be like men are putting, so here's how at risk they're putting themselves. 60% of, so they're worthless on the ground. And big cats can eat them when they're close to the ground.
You're about to answer my question.
60% of sloths die this way. 60% of sloths are eaten by cats because they go to take a shit. And that's how you're going to die. It's
so there must be like some form of saying like goodbye and not so long every time you go to the bathroom instead of I'll be right back. Yeah. You say it's the goodbye.
Number one cause of sloth death is being eaten while pooping. But
what
that's
happened to
changing.
Larry? Didn't you hear? He had to shit.
that's there's also now the thing that's I was going to say before. Now the thing endangering them is extreme weather is actually so there's global warming, but extreme weather makes all weather more extreme. So there's also in South America bigger dips in temperature in the jungle because heating up the ocean makes molecules move faster. Molecules moving faster adds to more chaos within weather systems, which leads to just more extremes on both sides of things. And because of that, it's actually the cold, it's the extreme cold that will make it too cold for sloths to be able to digest. They have an enzyme in their stomach that if it gets too cold and this enzyme stops, it doesn't matter how much they eat, they're still going to be starving to death.
Here's a question that I know what an enzyme is, but then if you ask me to define it, I'm drawing a blank. So what is an enzyme?
Fuck if I know, dude. I don't know anything about nutrition or anything. I was just rattling off some shit off the top of my head.
But is it alive or is it, it's not living particle. It's like a bacteria, right?
Yeah. It's like I think it's like a, you know, like a, we talk
good
about
bacteria
like, yeah we talk yeah. about like probiotic type stuff
okay
yeah that sort of thing I think but fuck if I know. And so that's just like that's also how touch and go their whole diet is just generally and how particular their conditions are, which makes it that much stranger that two different sloths that were unrelated evolved the same pooping pattern, even though one doesn't do it that often. And
how often does the less often one do it? Just weekends?
Oh, they poop in the same frequency ish I think, but the trip. They don't always make the trip down. And I don't know
when they don't make the trip, they just go.
Yeah, they just go from the trees. So why they already have the solution, so why aren't they just pooping from the trees all of the time?
There's conservatives. There's traditionalists.
Exactly. And so you'd think if it was like, so to put yourself out there, it needs to be some sort of territory, some sort of mating thing. It feels like it has to be. But if it was a mating thing, it would be like, guys climb all the way down the tree to endanger themselves and even poop in front of like a you know, large like panther or something, whatever the fuck, just to show off to the females that they're able to put themselves at risk. But females do this as well, so that doesn't make sense as a mating strategy. Females don't risk themselves for mates. They have no reason to, or very rarely. Very rarely in a species, and there wouldn't be a reason to with sloths. They just hang out where they're hanging, and then once in a while a guy comes by, and sometimes the lady's like, all right.
So that's ruled out, you're saying, and then
I would say so.
So what's the best hypothesis? The best,
yeah, so they have this, so this is amazing. So sloths, like I said, they have this whole ecosystem on their back. They're just a big mess of muck. They have they're so slow, they literally just have algae just growing on their back. But they also have these hairs that are unlike any other hair in the animal kingdom. And it keeps them warm but also keeps them soggy. So they have these hairs have these particular kind of scoops on them that retain water really well and seem to be really conducive for growing this algae. So, okay, so this algae is important. Why is the algae important? And what's this have to do with the pooping? Well, sloths also have these particular moths. They have sloth moths. There's a scientific name, but they're commonly called sloth moths.
Moths.
A species of moth that only exist on sloths. They exist nowhere else.
Not even on Hoth. Don't try to make sloth broth on Hoth with sloth moths.
Yeah, fuck off if you try to do that with David Hasselhoff. And so they have this particular species of moths, and then they found out that the moths are laying their larvae in the sloth poop on the ground. And so when sloths go down, the larvae, when they go through the metamorphosis into moths, will then latch onto a sloth and tend to hang out around this algae. And it's unsure what they're getting out of the algae or why they're on it, because moths don't eat. The larvae eat, and then the moth aspect, that's just for banging. Mm. That's everything about moths, where if you think of a moth, like, that's what a moth is. They're not alive for that long. That's just for banging it out. You just grow wings to bang. You don't eat nothing else. That's the whole reason to
grow. So you're mostly not a moth. You're mostly a larva.
Yeah.
That's most of your life, huh?
All those wings, all that flying about, just to bang. That's it.
Wow.
Before that, you're just this little larvae eating stuff, eating feces. And so they're not getting anything out of the algae, but they are out of the feces, but why are they living on that? So if the sloths didn't do this behavior, potentially they wouldn't have the moths on their back. But no one knows exactly what the moths are getting out of it other than in the dung, which, why wouldn't you just hang out around the dung? Why then latch back on to the sloths? And what in the world are the sloths getting out of it? So it seems like when the moths die, maybe they're contributing to the ecosystem of the algae. So what are the sloths getting out of this algae? Maybe they're getting camouflage, but they're pretty well camouflaged without it, and it doesn't serve them as well as camouflage in different seasons. There's a wet season where it's like, oh, it does make them a little harder to see. And then other seasons where it doesn't. And so what are they getting out of it? And one of the things is maybe because their diet is so poor, some of this algae has nutritional value to it.
Vitamin E.
They put this algae in like cow guts to see how it will interact with different nutrition. And they've found out that it could actually be like a pretty good source of and have some nutritional value.
Oh, yeah. People get algae in their smoothies.
Exactly. But why? But then sloths have never been observed eating the algae. They groom themselves. It seems like the moths make the sloths itch, and then they'll like scratch.
And then it gets in their nails.
And then maybe they're eating.
They clean it.
And they're cleaning because it does seem like it's getting in their gut, but they're not sure how. They've never seen them eating. And then if there's a source of nutrition on them, they have a neck like an owl. So to turn their head all the way around and to have your whole face just go by like a great source of nutrients on your own body and not take a little taste, a little lick, and it's never been observed. And they'll have in captivity, they'll have like the algae-less sloth. Like they won't grow that same like robust ecosystem on them. And they seem just fine, though I think they supplement their diet with fruits and other things. So maybe that doesn't mean anything.
And how exhaustively have they tried to uncover this, or is this just not a priority?
Well, probably both, but I would say
not a global priority, of course, but within that community.
Within that community, this is pretty fresh. It was 2012 that a paper was written by some people in Madison, Wisconsin. Actually, of all, why are there sloth researchers in Madison, Wisconsin making groundbreaking discoveries? So weird. Why? the furthest from, it's about as far away from a sloth as you could.
Maybe that's
yourself.
Why it's been romanticized.
Yeah.
They don't have them. They take it for granted. Or they don't take it for granted, like the people near it.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be it. or they have a better objective view or something like that. Whatever it is, they came out with this paper making, putting this all together. That's like, we finally figured it out. It's the sloth moths. That's what it's all about. And so that's where the other controversy started coming in. Like, well, how come we haven't seen them eating this algae if it's good for, you know, then in testing the algae in the guts, that's when all of this. So this is all in the last 10 years that they made the connection, a little more than that. But 10 years ago, the paper was published that made this
assertion.
We
met before that.
Yeah.
We were friends in a world where they had
no idea why sloths pooped it this particular way. But then it still goes to, so if any of this is this important, and the other thing is like, for males in one species of three toes have big orange patches on their back that's attractive to females. So you would do better to have less algae on your back in front of the females there. And then you're also, so both the two fingers and three fingers are doing this, but the two fingers aren't doing it every time. Why aren't they doing it every, if it's important, why aren't they doing it every time?
Yeah.
And if it's not important, why do it at all? It's so strange. It's incredibly strange. So that's the sloth poop mystery. And by digging into it and digging into sloths, I promise you a miraculous journey into many puzzles that are sloths. Why do they exist? How do they exist? Why was this an effective strategy? What other sloths came along the way? There was one region where sloths may have been like the apex predator of our
utopia.
Like, there wasn't much in the way of predation. And if you have no predators, things just start kind of overgrowing. Like, you get, a deer need to be culled sometime because there's not wolves and things like that in certain regions.
Were you the one that told me about that study? Someone made a short graphic novel of it too, but they put some deer on an island and it was controlled to where there was no predators, and it flourished and flourished, and they would go visit it every year, and then the last year all of them were dead.
Oh yeah. That's happened naturally several times. It's usually an invasive species. Some invasive species goes in where it's just like has nothing but endless. It's some species just shows up somewhere like, this is a buffet around here and has no natural predators there for itself. And that's happened with some region. I feel like it's in Ireland or something that it happened with some deer type thing. But that, here's another thing that I was thinking about, is there could have been, so one thing is like, was this some evolutionary holdover where somewhere between being on the ground and climbing in the trees, there was like one of the missing link sloths would do this that had some benefit along the way. Also, we know that the harpy eagle's predator, the harpy eagle and the existing cats on the ground now are the biggest predators for sloths, but maybe sloths had bigger predators somewhere along the way that no longer exist, that maybe humans wiped out or something. Like there's some sort of antelope or something. Whatever the fastest mammal in North America is,
sea-nosed purple elk. No, I don't know. Some kind of antelope sounds right.
Fastest mammal
in that's not the cheetah. Much North like America. How the Empire State Building is not the tallest building, the cheetah is not the fastest animal.
Pronghorn.
Pronghorn.
And it can run at speeds close to 60 miles an hour, which is unnecessary for anything now. But there was, speaking of cheetahs, there was a North American cheetah. It was like 50% bigger than cheetahs in Africa, and maybe as fast or like very, you know, definitely built for speed. And so maybe this pronghorn was driven to that speed because it had this cheetah chasing it.
Oh.
And now it's out specialized. It's like it has no, and everything has a cost. You don't just get to be the fastest thing without without the cost of some other.
Yeah.
Thing.
It's like in games where you like, I don't know, you're in like an ice world or something and you double down on all the fire weapons and fire spells. And then the next level is a fire world. And you're like, oh crap, I shouldn't have invested all my abilities into.
Exactly. You're exactly right. There's even a fun, I should try to think of it. There's a fun YouTube channel that breaks down animals by its like the power bar type.
Oh, I would love video that.
I'll find it for you.
I love stats. I love power bars. I love not the power bar eating ones, but just power meters and thinking of humans in that way. Like maybe someone is like very, I don't know, they have good balance, but they're not good at eating French fries.
It's absolutely a great way of thinking about when we were talking about in the marriage episode, it was now we put a lot of pressure on our partners to be all of the things that we want in a human. And you don't do that with anyone else. You don't do that with your friends.
Nope.
You don't like, I have different friends that I call for different activities that I might be doing or different hangs or different needs that I have or different collaborations or whatever. But you kind of expect all of this in a partner, and we'd probably get along much better as humans if we did think of this more along the way of in the way that it like makes sense to think about other animals and evolution in this way of like, well, each one has its own like little superpower, and there's no better or worse. There's a reason why there's this variety.
Yeah.
It would be nice if we could think of human personality that way. I haven't found myself able to do that. I think everyone should be very much like me. I'm kidding.
And the relationships that last, you are very well aware that your partner cannot be your everything and you can't be their everything. And
right.
I like that the language on that is getting better and better every year. And so is our lifespans. So...
yeah,
you know, you're before you're marrying so that your families can come together over like a patch of six potato plants. And now
exactly.
you do it for love, you, and you live for 800 years.
You get to do other things with it.
Yeah.
Instead of just barely survive because you found a compatible-ish person.
Everyone should drop all their shows and just do animal shows for a year. That would be fun.
It is. People don't talk about other species, and it is surprising to me that people will be like, what if also we talked about the politics of everyday life endlessly? And that people are like, you know what, there's not enough of that out there. Maybe maybe we should start another show where I read the newspaper articles of the day. And
President
then...
Biden miffles again in thinking that he's standing next to Barack Obama when Barack Obama is in Miami. What's he doing looking to his right and saying, ain't that right, Barry? This might be signs of cognitive decline. Now, if Trump had done that, you would have seen the left just completely tear him to shreds.
Just more of that. I have a show idea. More of that.
Endless.
So yeah. So that'll get listeners down the path of a good sloth poop mystery. Sloths are awesome. They're very special. It
what
feels like
pee?
They shouldn't. That's a good question. I'm not sure.
What if that's even bigger? And I'm the first to have ever thought of it. And they never pee. And they don't know where the liquid goes because they examined the stool samples and it's free of all liquids and it hasn't evaporated because they've checked the clouds nearby. Where does it go?
This says, I think they relieve themselves at the same time.
Oh, once a week? Once a week, both.
Sloths urinate and defecate just once a week? Hmm. I don't know. I would want to look into sloth pee before making any grand claim because, again...
Your reputation is on the line here.
My reputation's on the line. People are going to get really fired up in the YouTube comments section about this whole... I'm already feeling like we're going to be in a lot of hot water for this episode.
We are. This is our controversy.
That's sloths. Happy International Sloth Day. October 20th. I hope your sober October is going as well as you want it to be. Or if you aren't participating, I hope that's going well. Did he find a vice yet? Did he watch any like TV shows on my behalf? Did you? No.
Maybe my vice is listening. Like I should listen to people more.
You're a good listener. And you try and do a bunch of new things. But
yeah, I listen, but here's maybe not listening isn't the right word. I should follow instructions.
Yeah.
I should.
That's a tough one because people love if you're just like, hey, will anyone tell me what I should do with my life?
People love sending you wrecks. Listen to these 10 albums, listen to read these 10 books. Watch these 8 shows. Yeah. You gotta see this movie.
Hey everyone, do you have any just general recommendations for us? Throw it in the YouTube comments or on just general recommendations.
Yeah. Doesn't even have to be about the show. Just
can be
anything.
About anything at all. If you have a general recommendation.
Yeah, how should we vote? How should we eat? What should our sleep patterns be? Yeah, what kind of terms should we use?
How do you work better? How do you relax more?
Yeah.
Throw it in the
comments.
How
do you make friends? How do you get rid of friends?
I had the oddest sober October. So, you know, our sober October or my particular sober October and what I presented on Discord is a different, it's about vices. And so, like I said, I'm like, well, I've actually been trying to eat weed more often. So maybe I'll do that more, but I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to have cigarettes. I'm not going to watch TV. I'm not going to play Teach You. I've stuck with all that. It was the hardest, it was the most tempting this last weekend. I went to this Shikori, this grassroots festival, like an hour
Shikori?
From Raleigh. Yeah, Shikori.
What's that?
It's the name of the festival.
Okay. No further questions, Your Honor. Proceed.
And yeah. And so it's twice a year. I might try to make next spring as well. I recommend it. It was a lot of fun. And I did the most amount of psychedelics. So I haven't done many psychedelics in the last, since COVID, actually really since my break in 2017, I like dabble in mushrooms here and there, but it's like particular, usually I need to be depressed to feel comfortable doing mushrooms. Like I went on a real ketamine kick because it's less likely to create, trigger a manic episode or any bad
feeling.
Yeah, very unlikely to trigger a manic episode, so I feel more comfortable doing it. And I just went for it. I was like, I need to trip. And I never trip at festivals. I never trip in settings like this. Or if I do, I'm like, I'll have like 2 grams of mushrooms. This was just like, I'm going to stuff my body.
Going ham?
So many psychedelics.
You went full ham?
I went full ham. So on the first day I get there, I eat a bunch of weed, which is unusual for me. And then I think I even had some kratom too. And then ate a bunch of, I don't remember. I had some leftover from when I hurt my foot. And I was like, I'm going to be walking around a bunch. So I'll just have some kratom now. And then I had a bunch of mushrooms and then I did some ketamine right away before. Because I hate the first hour of a mushroom trip.
It's nauseous. Your pupils are dilating.
Anxious,
the walls are breathing.
I'm not used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brain.
And it's got
still
an
like,
impending feeling. Yeah. And it's indescribable. But there's a feeling of like something is. The curtains are about to open, but we don't know what is behind the curtain.
So now I just skipped that with ketamine. I was just like, oh, I'll spend that 45 minutes on ketamine and then come out of it, and then I'll just be tripping on mushrooms.
Do you think ketamine is less likely to induce a manic state? Because part of a manic state is kind of almost egoic in a way. It's like it's centered on you and your ideas and your synchronicities, and then the ketamine just disassociates you. You blend into everythingness where you're like, what?
Ketamine, no meaning for me in ketamine whatsoever. I mean, I'll have things that if it was any other trip, I'd be like, I'm going to interpret that and what my brain was trying to tell me with that thing and get a lesson from it. With ketamine, I'm like, that was okay. That was a weird sight. Okay, I don't even need to. What did my ex turn into like a condor or something like that? If I was on mushrooms, I'd be like, oh, it's because of the time. I should have like flown with her more or something. Ketamine, I'm like, that was just a bizarre one to throw at me. I don't read into it. I don't have a new path in life illuminated clearly before me that I need to like now pursue and like change everything I'm doing in my life for. It's just a fucking bizarre experience. So I had some ketamine, then I'm tripping, then I had a little more ketamine, and I'm on mushrooms again, and then I was like, I'm gonna do quite a bit more ketamine, and I did quite a bit more. I'm with like banana and soup, and they're not doing ketamine. I am. And then Chris, video producer, they were doing mushrooms, and yeah, just me and like a couple other people around, you know, I was passing some out too. And then I did a whole bunch of ketamine, and then I go to banana. I'm like, I gotta go pee quick. And then I start going to the porta potties. I'm like, I want to use a porta potty. I'll just like get away from people and pee. And so I start down this road that's like clearly away from people, and then I just start seeing this light coming down this path, and then I'm just like, I'm just gonna follow this light. I'm like, oh, they're enjoying music, I'll be back in enough time. And then I start down this road, and then now I am on some weird mission, because I don't normally just walk around on ketamine. I'm like, this is just a weird, dumb thing to do. I'm going to do it. And then I just start losing motor function. And I'm like, oh, no.
Car ran out of gas on the way to the light.
And then a bunch of people from Mumfest were like, Shane? And I'm like, hey. And then they come up and talk to me. I'm like, I'm trying to listen for a second. I'm like, hey guys, I just did a whole bunch of ketamine right before bumping into you, and so I can't do much right now. And they're like, oh, you should just come into our tent. And they just had a big glamping tent with like strobe lights and stuff like that inside. I just laid out. I'm like, how did this happen? This is amazing. I was on ketamine and then stumbled into the best place to be on ketamine. Nice. With a bunch of people that were, they had met each other at the Mind Under Matter Campout Festival, and then went to Shikori to like hang out at another festival with one another. It was absolutely wonderful and amazing. I went, had a night, recovered, went out and about, and ran into some other people. Anna Austin Park, who played, was there with her fiance Mackenzie.
Double
Bagel,
hell yeah.
Who put together the fire spinning squad, was there with some other folks. I kept on bumping into all sorts of people. Lots of fun. Everyone's still talking about how great the festival was. Ran into Duck, the band there, and
Duck rules.
And some people with Julia, Donnie, there, and
Chris, the other guy.
Yeah. There, and so it was a bunch of fun. Everyone was asking me a ton of questions about the fest for next year, and so people are jazzed about it. It was a wonderful weekend, but I'll tell you, trying to explain to people that you are in the middle of, so when you're on your back on ketamine, can barely talk, and you're on a lot of mushrooms, and kratom and weed, and then someone like offers you a drink and you're like, I'm sorry, it's Sober October. Sober October.
Do you want a beer and watch the football game with me? No, no, it's Sober October.
I'm crawling on the ground right now because it's Sober October and all that I can do is five different drugs at once. Yeah,
there's no whites in your eyes. It's all pupil.
So that was fun. Yeah, I had that happen. Also, one other thing before we wrap up. One of the things that we're going to start trying to integrate is at the end of some of our episodes, we're going to start interviewing, speaking of Duck and Julia and those guys, we're going to start interviewing some of our musical guests for a few minutes, like we did with Desert Honey. But we finally got some footage together from the fest so we can maybe have a little interview with a little bit of their music mixed in, and then play kind of a full song at the end for people that wanna stick around. Today's we're not doing interview. We're instead going to play a little bit from Ramin's solo set at the Campout Festival, which, by the way, I don't even think that I said this on a regular episode, but we changed the dates because I realized that it can cool down around Raleigh to a degree that would be uncomfortable if we were also wet. So you can't please everyone. I thought I'd push things back a little bit because people were like, man, it's a little warm. Believe me, you'd rather be a little bit warm for a festival than to be too cold. So because of that, we've changed it to September 14th, 15th, and 16th and 17th, well, 14th being the Patreon day for next year. So make sure and support us on Patreon because we haven't determined the cutoff for who's going to qualify to keep that nice and intimate as well. And that that will be during a new moon.
Which so, one?
So the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th.
No, I meant like Pisces new moon, Leo new moon.
You're asking the wrong person for that. But so this year was full moon and that was awesome. But I want to see what new moon is like because we'll be able to get some astronomers and some stargazing fun involved. And maybe we'll pay a little more attention to adding some more lights and stuff like that. Those are updates for the show. So you guys know what's going on. And I also like introducing things like that. Like this, because we're always looking for feedback and ways that we can add cool things to this show and make it more fun and entertaining for you guys. So I hope you enjoy us throwing a little music from the Campout Festival at the end of some episodes here and there, and let us know what you think about that. And until next time,
keep on salivating, honeys.
You need to tune up, Zach.
Give me an A. A! Just kidding. It's comedy rap. Perfect. Check, check. I take pride by freestyling by the lakeside. In 45 minutes, I'll depart this site for a plane flight. But even when we reach 10,000 feet altitude, I'll stay high. Way up in the blue-gray sky. It's not always blue. There's nice parts and metaphorically sad parts too. It's part of the human condition. This freestyle here has never been pen in hand and written. It's off the top when I rock the spot. Yo, I keep it hot like a coffee pot. This is freestyle 101 that I do in the sun, cause it's sun and when it comes down. I got the funky drummer drum ing on the kid behind me. I'm on a freestyle off the top, open up your mind spree. In a second I'll look behind me to see what sort of visuals Soup is putting up, and I'm really excited to take whatever he's doing, put it into my freestyle and loop it up. First chorus, flying through the mountains, drone taking footage, but I am just abounding. Yes, I am just abounding. 10, 9, 8, and counting. Drone footage as I'm soaring through the mountains. Party people in the place, make some noise if you're abounding. You're like a joy fountain. Verse 2, I come through with my dope verse crew. I got Mike on the fiddle and Ramin on the ooh, ooh, ooh. Funky low end, oh friends, it's so nice. I don't remember your name, so I'll say bro twice. Yo, bro, bro, I'm ill with the dope flow. When I come off the top, then I sound like a hobo. Not like a person who is houseless, but the city in Hoboken, New Jersey. Make some noise for Hoboken, New Jersey, of all places. Didn't expect to rap about that. But never doubt that the path will take you to unexpected destinations. Like putting the L in the word unexpected. The whole point of the freestyle is to get out of your own head, kids. Take a lesson from the prof. But this is a posse cut. Cause I'm not the only one up here who can freestyle. Mike Kaplan, wanna do some talking? What?
Alright, I'll do some. I don't know if it's gonna be any too fun. I'll just do the right amount of fun. A mountain of fun is a mountain to some fun. And we're sitting out in some sun, not all the sun. There are some clouds up there. Yeah, and there were some clouds up there down here. And it made everybody almost have to put their hair away. And also all the rest of their bodies. You know, they were like, everybody go back to your auto bodies. You oughta go back, that's where you oughta go. You gotta go, it's fine. Zach, you wanna play the violin?
Drone footage, soaring through the mountains. Goddamn, listen to my man here pounding on the drums. Freestyle's abounding, pouring like a fountain. Now it's like some weird kind of DMT bridge architecture. Now I'm like a trippy TED Talk kind of lecture. Yes, sir. Oh shit, now it's like the power grid. Honestly, we could do this for about 4 hours, kids, if I didn't have to go check in 60 minutes before. But for now, let's explore. Eat more? We're circling around, and the wires are connecting all the pieces to the ground as they're rooted into the earth with a fence post. Friends, most of you have probably seen the sculpture over there, but Ashley had the fence post driver out earlier, and she made this art that's more robust and burlier than anything I've seen at the festival, tied with everything else at the festival. Yo, I lay it down at the style like it's Rand McNally. Not the grand finale, I just want to take a quick second to shout out every artisan in Artist Alley. Yes, still the power lines. Soon could we switch it up to find some more flower kinds of stud? Yeah, we've seen the drones in the lake. Ooh, the deep blue sea, ooh wee. It reminds me of the shallow brown thing behind me. That's the lake. I'm peaceful, but if called upon, I could be a battle lord. Mike does excellent stand-up like me on the paddleboard. Yes, sir, this rhyme is like a rattle, sword, and a deer hoof all combined. Is that deer hoof with a handle still on the tape? It kind of blew my mind, and not in a good way. I just would say that plant-based lifestyles, oh no, he's rapping about being vegan now. How does he freaking, how does he do it? Back to the Drone Canyon. Oh my God, my companions. So nice to be out here with you. One more flow through the mental brain tissue, synapses connecting. I don't want to rap about erections, so I won't. I can do what I want. That's the lesson of the jam, my friends. Just flaunting and flexing and styling and moving around. Looking back behind me for the drone and the fountain pounding. Back to the hook. Drone footage, just a backwards look. It's like, Soup, can you switch it to something as different as you have in your repertoire? It was us! He was a step ahead of me. Yesterday, I really enjoyed myself. It felt incredibly nice to stand out here and rap. But the whole damn time, I didn't realize this was a camera. And I'm now excited to look down the barrel and do the freestyle in my cool camping apparel that I recently purchased from REI.com. I drop bombs, that's a thing you say in rap. And so is the ill kind of staring to the camera sort of thing. I don't know if it's happening, but I bet it is, cause Soup's the kind of guy who has your back. Yo, I just stand and rap and deliver like that movie Stand and Deliver with Edwards James Olmos. Yo, we've almost come to the goalposts. Not quite yet, but almost. So let me do one more hook, then we'll freak it out kinda, then we'll finish up the rhyme and it'll be just like divine. One more hook, yes, this is the climax. No second look, so drop footage. Snorting through the mountains, drum man pounding, freestyles abounding, flowing like a fountain. I'm out of rhymes, y'all, down counting. 3, 2, 1 to the motherfucking zero. Thank you, Ramin and Shane, the podcast heroes. Yes, dumb, fresh, and mom, fast.